Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
Well, Merry Christmas. Someone said that to me earlier, and I said, tell that to me tomorrow afternoon. That's when I'll be able to relax and enjoy Christmas for the first time. But we are glad that you are here. We are glad that you have carved out this time on your busy weekend. We're glad that the Lions have won, so you can be here with a clear heart. And I'm even more happy that the Bengals won and the Hoosiers are still winning. But that's beside the point. My Christmas list is complete. Indiana's undefeated. And I couldn't be happier about it. So, I don't know what has been kind of preoccupying your mind today. I don't know what things have been kind of chasing you today. I know I felt chased by a lot of people just trying to find a parking lot at Kroger today. Maybe you've joined me in some of that. Christmas is an incredibly beautiful time of the year. But it's also an incredibly busy time of the year, isn't it? Don't you just feel like sometimes you wish it wasn't the way that it was, that you could just find a way to slow down? Maybe find a place that you could sit in a dark room with maybe just a few lights on and some candles lit and just find some quiet. It's hard to find. In our world, in our society, in our the way we do things, it is hard to find. I'm very thankful for those who have made this service a special service that it's been, those who've participated, those who lit our luminaries, those who sang Christmas carols on the way in. I think we've tried to just make this a very calming night, a night that reminds us of the things that make this holiday special. And I'm once again very honored that you've chosen to be here. Throughout our service already, you've heard the story of Christ's birth. You've heard the scriptures. Most of them were incredibly familiar to you. You read the scriptures on the screen as we began our time together. You sang the scriptures through the songs that have been selected. The story of Jesus' birth is one of those stories that all of us know backwards and forwards. I mean, we all know about the angels, we know about the shepherds, we understand about the magi, the star, the manger, and the swaddling clothes, right? It's so familiar to us that it's hardly even connects when we hear it. It's kind of like one of those things we just have to hear one time of the year. Have you ever read the story of Jesus being born in July? No, not too frequently. Because it's just a story that we want to hear when it's cold outside, when there's supposed to be snow on the ground. Especially when you live in Michigan, right? I personally don't mind seeing grass on Christmas, but I might be in a minority. I just don't like seeing it on my driveway, quite honestly. The grass is fine. This story that has become so familiar, it hardly impacts, it hardly gets through the shell of who we are. It's kind of just a bump in the road compared to the attention that Santa Claus gets, which is ironic because as you study the story of Santa Claus, you realize that his generosity was born out of his love for his Savior. Yet here we are, thinking about dinner tomorrow, maybe having already rushed through dinner tonight, thinking about what we have to wrap and hoping for what we may get to unwrap. I'm not sure what's on your Christmas list. I know what my wife wish was on mine, and that's a razor. It's not on the list. I want this night to be as special as your morning. I want it to kind of be the thing that kind of grabs a hold of your attention for the rest of this weekend. So that the things that we talk about, the things that we share, what we experience together, helps make tomorrow more special. I'm kind of glad that she's upset. You know why? This is later in my notes. There was not one thing that was silent about Christmas. Moms, are you with me? I was thinking about this. We sing Silent Night on a night that a baby was born. Is there anything silent about the process of a baby being born? Not at all. This is fitting. You know why? Because we have to find a way to think about what it was really like and to know that God is in the midst of all of that too. The craziness, the noise, the filth, the dirt, everything that went with the Christmas story. So, when we get into this reading and what we do on Christmas Eve and the things that we want to accomplish here, I think sometimes it has become so familiar that we are still left with a lingering question in our mind. It's a one-word question. It's the question of why. I want to start there tonight because I think that asking the question, why Christmas, is important for us to really embrace its purpose. Many look at Christianity and the Christian faith just like they look at the Nativity story. You've got this familiar story, and we just kind of look at it and breeze right on by it. And when you look at the Christian faith, a lot of people do the same thing. Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's good. That's for you. And they breeze right on by. And I fear that as believers, we have not done a great job of really helping ourselves understand and helping others understand why Jesus had to come. So let's think about this. Why should I care about Jesus' birth? Why should I care about God? Why should I follow Jesus? Why should I pay attention to His ways? Why should I make worship and fellowship with other Christian believers a priority in my life? Why should Christmas matter throughout the year? Why? I want to be very clear about this tonight. I want to be very clear of the purpose of Christmas. If you hear nothing else, hear this. Jesus came for us. He came for us. I want to share a story. It's not really a Christmas story, but it's one that I think really helps articulate why Christ came. It involves Jesus. It's recorded in Luke's gospel. Jesus is passing through the city of Jericho. It's actually near the end of his life. This town had a rich Jewish heritage. It was a town that had a lot going for it and a lot of things working against it. But Jesus was passing through because he was on his way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover one final time. He was passing through Jerusalem, and there had to have been an enormous crowd following him and being with him and all, along the way, because the Passover celebration was so huge and such an important holiday in the Jewish faith that many people were going to Jerusalem. It's the place to be. It's kind of like New York City on New Year's Eve. It's the place to be, and people wanted to be there. And so Jesus is traveling, but there's thousands of others traveling along these roads, passing through and heading to Jerusalem. The word spreads that Jesus is coming through, and there had to have been people kind of lining the roads because there was a man in Jericho who wanted to get a glimpse of this new rabbi. He was hopeful that this new rabbi might be able to help him, might be able to cure his condition. He was intrigued by what he had heard about him, but he wasn't so sure that Jesus wanted to see him. So to get a good view, Zacchaeus climbed a tree. You familiar with this story? He climbed this tree to get a view of this master, this new rabbi, this Jesus. And as Jesus came by, he stops right at Zacchaeus' tree. And he looks up into that tree. He calls him by name. And he says, "Zach, buddy, I know you're there. Come on down, man. You look stupid up there. I've had a long trip. My feet are tired. I really could use a break and a snack, and I hear your house is the coolest in town. Do you think I could stay there for a little bit? Do you think I could hang out for just a moment?" And so I can imagine Zacchaeus' mind. What had to go through his mind when he hears the master say these words to him. The wealthiest man in Jericho, the smallest man in Jericho, and the most hated man in Jericho. Jesus, the light of the world, stopped and asked that man to come, to allow him to come to his house. And Zacchaeus allowed it. he was overwhelmed and it eventually allowed him to come into his own heart. As Zacchaeus is going through a whole list of things that he's going to do differently because of Jesus, Jesus stops him and lets everybody in the house know these words. Today, he says, salvation has come to this house because this man is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. These are important words for us to hear tonight. Zacchaeus was the son of Abraham, not because he was born Jewish, but because he was willing to surrender everything he knew to follow after God. The Son of Man, the light of the world, he came to seek and to save what was lost. Jesus did not come so that we could give gifts to each other, though that's a lot of fun, and that is a great tradition. He did not come so we could light candles and sing songs, but that's a lot of fun too. He didn't come so that our economy could finally drag itself out of the red and into the black, though that's what we've come to expect, right? Jesus came to shine his light into our soul. He came to reveal our sin and our separation from God. Jesus came to attract us back to God and help us embrace God's love. Jesus came to live in us and allow us to take his light with us. We've been, as a church, going through this sermon series called Illuminate, where we have considered how the light of the world reveals himself to us and attracts us to him and even lives in us. Tonight we're going to be focusing on how Jesus, that amazing light, saves. It really is the meaning of the season, that he came to seek and to save what was lost. So that might generate a question. What does that mean? What's lost? Who's lost? Am I lost? Are you lost? Who is Jesus looking for anyways? A quick look at the word salvation reveals this definition. The phenomenon of being saved from the undesirable condition of bondage and suffering. I want to read it again. The phenomenon of being saved from the undesirable condition of bondage and suffering. So Jesus came not to create a new religion, not to force us to look a certain way, not to take away our fun and all of our freedoms and make life boring. He came to save us from our bondage, to save us from our sin. But the question that remains as we consider this tonight, this holiest of nights, is do we find our sin to be undesirable? In the definition of salvation, it talks about being saved from an undesirable condition. Do we find our current state of living to be undesirable? Experiencing salvation is a lot like receiving a gift. A gift not too unlike what you may receive tonight or tomorrow morning. And I really do hope that you enjoy all the gifts and everything that comes your way. I hope that you are blessed beyond measure and that it's just a wonderful experience. In saying all of that, I realize that there are some among us who have not been looking forward to tomorrow because a loved one isn't with them. Because family dynamics have caused an interesting year and not everybody's going to be together and families splitting at the seams and et cetera, it goes on. I know that I wish every family could just be that postcard family, that Hallmark card family, but I realize that it's not the same for all of us. We're sharing our kids to two different directions, multiple different directions. Christmas is often just crazy. So when we boil it down and all of those gifts happen and it's great, I want us to think about the one gift that is available to all, no matter what situation or circumstance you may find yourself in. Eugene Peterson has paraphrased the scriptures through a book called The Message. I say it that way because I don't want anyone to mistake that The Message as being a translation of the Bible. It's more of a paraphrase of the Bible. It was written by basically one person who understood the original language and put it into language that could help us understand it in our day and time. When he wrote and translated Romans chapter 3, he paraphrased it this way. So the God setting things right that we read about has really become the Jesus setting things right for us. And not only for us, but for everyone who believes in him. See, for so long, the people of Israel had believed that God was going to set everything right for them, and He was. But He did it through the person and the deity of Christ. He goes on to say, out of sheer generosity, He put us in right standing with Himself, a pure gift. He got us out of the mess we're in and restored us to where He always wanted us to be. And He did it by the means of Jesus Christ. Tonight, as beautiful as Christmas is, I want you to remember that God isn't interested in how beautiful it may be. As beautiful as these candles are, or the lights that might illuminate your house or your Christmas tree, God isn't concerned about all of that. He's not all that concerned about how well you're dressed tonight or how well you're not dressed tonight. He's not interested in how good we can be or how pretty our life is. Because Jesus came not for our beauty, but for our sin. He came for your undesirable condition and bondage. I think sometimes that nativity picture that we have in our head is too pretty. It's too pretty and too clean, and the real honest story of Christ's birth was absolutely a mess. I think of that stable and the smell that had to be there. The damp conditions, potentially the breezy conditions, the cold weather potentially, everything that was going in, the manure there. I mean, come on, that's got to be not a great place to have a child. Right? I think of the darkness that might have surrounded it. And we talk about songs of radiant beams, but we have this in our mind traditionally, Christ being born at night. See, too often we think that Christianity and the faith that we want to have is about how clean we can look. And we come and we want to present ourselves with ties on and dresses on, and that's wonderful. But I want us to know tonight that Jesus didn't come for us to be cleaned on the outside. He came so that we could address the filth and the undesirable condition of our bondage problem and clean us from the inside. He isn't concerned about all the exteriors. He's only concerned about your heart. I think too often we miss the point. And we think that Jesus isn't interested in our dirt. He isn't interested in what separates us from Him, but that's exactly why He came. You know, I thought of it this way this week, and maybe this will help you. The light of the world, Jesus, He could have come in so many different ways. He could have accomplished so many different things. He could have simply appeared, but you know, He didn't do that. He was born. He could have ruled, but instead He loved. This light of the world, He could have looked at you and me and He could have condemned. But instead, He saved. Those are three powerful phrases for me because they ring true. He could have appeared as a man already born. He could have done that, but He wanted to experience all of life. He could have ruled because that was His to rule. This world is His to rule. He could have done that, but instead He served and He loved and He got dirty for us. And He could have condemned us. We were guilty. We were not righteous when we interacted with Christ for the first time, but instead of condemning us, He has saved us. Peterson once again paraphrases a very familiar passage of Scripture from John chapter 3 this way. This is how much God loved the world, that He gave His Son, His one and only Son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in Him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. He didn't go to all that trouble sending His Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again, so anyone who trusts in Him is acquitted. He did not come to accuse. He did not come to make you feel like a loser. He did not come to point out your dirt and your darkness. The light of the world came on this night to save you, to give you hope, to give you life, and to allow you the opportunity of being connected with His Heavenly Father once again. It is my deepest prayer that Christmas is all that you dreamed it would be. But it's my deeper prayer that it would be so because you have received the gift of Christ Himself. That you would receive the gift of salvation that Jesus is giving you this night. And that you would not be concerned with how dark or how dirty or how stained you feel today. But that you would only be concerned with embracing the gift and allowing this Christ child to cleanse you in His way and in His time. Can you receive that gift tonight? Would you receive that gift tonight? I hope so. From the heart of a shepherd, from the heart of a pastor, I hope so. I know many of us have already. That's why you're here on a Saturday evening, because Jesus is special to you. But I want to remind those of us who are feeling God's love in a different way tonight and wondering if He could love you in such a way that this pastor is talking about, I hope that you'll take me up on that offer. And I hope that you'll unwrap that present of God's grace and love. And I hope that you would receive the salvation that He wants to give you tonight. I hope that what is lost will be found. I hope that what is broken will be healed. And I hope what is dark will be filled with His light. We're going to sing a couple of songs, and in just a moment I'm going to have the privilege of passing out God's light to each of us through the candles that I hope that you received when you walked in the door. As we spread God's light to each other, may it remind us of God's light that is available and the gift of salvation that is available for each one here tonight. Lord God, thank You for Your gift. Thank You for Your love. And may we receive it tonight in the way that You offer, freely, for all. We are certainly filled with gratitude that You're not shaking Your finger at us tonight, but You're opening Your arms. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for coming and being a part of our life. Amen.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.